The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Now, I could have picked any one of a number of tracks from our next guest to introduce the item. But if we're going to talk about Squeeze, we could have gone for Tempted, Up the Junction, many other tracks. But here's a little bit of Cool for Cats.
The Indians send signals from the rocks above the pass. The cowboys take position in the bushes and the grass. The squaw is with the corporal, she is tied against a tree. She doesn't mind the language, it's the beating she don't need. She lets loose all the horses when the corporal is asleep. And he wakes to find the fire's dead and arrows in his axe. And Davy Crockett rides around and says it's cool for cats, it's cool for cats.
Now, I've said I'm from the generation that absolutely loved Squeeze. Great band from the late 1970s and beyond. I even remember seeing them in Chicago in 1992. And I'm delighted that one of the main men in Squeeze, one of the songwriters, Chris Difford, has joined us because he has just written a new book, Some Fantastic Place, My Life in and Out of Squeeze. Chris, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
Jolly good to be here. Nice to hear your voice.
Now tell us, you've written some magnificent songs over the years, but what was it like sitting down to write your story?
It was actually very simple and a very enjoyable thing to be doing. The most difficult thing was letting it go, you know, getting to the end of the book and then sort of handing it off was very, very hard.
But you've also been remarkably honest about your life. I mean, there's an incredible stories of your interaction with individuals from Elton John to Brian Ferry, Marty Pello, beyond
Absolutely.
Squeeze. But also, you're exceptionally honest about the difficulties that you have faced during your life. What was that like, actually, doing that?
Well, I think the book had to be an honest read, so you know, nothing was held back. And I've had a really great response to the book. Lots of very good press coverage and so on. And everybody's come back and said what a good read it has been. So I've decided to take the book out on tour, and I'm going to be talking about the book, playing some songs, some Squeeze songs, and some of my own songs. And it's going to be a mixed and varied night.
Yeah, and we'll talk about some of the things, but I want to start, though, with your love of music and how that developed, because it is a story, I'd imagine, that it will resonate with an enormous amount of people. Almost as a teenager, you didn't go in with the normal thing of falling into football and stuff. You just fell in love with music as a child.
Yeah, I don't... everybody around me was into football and the gang that I used to hang out with, but music seemed to be... something that lured me in at a very early age, and I could suddenly see that it would be an easy option for me to, or easier option, you know, picking up a guitar and learning how to write songs. So, you know, I mean, in those days too, in the 70s, early 70s, when you think about the music that was out then, I mean, it was just an incredible chart full of amazing records.
But you actually did something that was quite different. If I remember, when Squeeze really came to prominence for many people, it was not in your first years with Squeeze, but tracks like Up the Junction and Cool for Cats in the late 70s, they were very different. I mean, they were very, although the music was great, the lyrics were the things that really grabbed people.
Well, thank you very much. They were, I guess, and they were different. And I was inspired at that during the making of that record by Elvis Costello and Ian Dury and Nick Lowe and people that were sort of knocking around London at the same time as Squeeze. And lyrically, there were people that I could sort of fall in love with, really.
Because Up the Junction, for example, and we'll play a little bit of it in a minute, I mean, that was very much sort of like talking about... Well, somebody getting into a situation that they didn't quite understand, somebody young, child coming along, that was the sort of thing that wasn't really sung about in pop hits at the time.
No, it wasn't, and I wasn't really aware of that. It was just a lyric that was taken from the imagination, and it was a place and a time, and I'd been brought up on sort of kitchen sink dramas that used to play out on television. So that kind of lyric came from that inspiration.
And then something like Cool for Cats was just pure fun.
Well, it was. You know, it was inspired in many ways by watching Benny Hill.
You better explain for the generation just who Benny Hill was, for listeners who may not have known.
It's very difficult to describe Benny Hill to a younger generation, I would have thought. I think it's best left to either the imagination or Google, I think.
Yeah, there were different times, certainly, when Benny Hill would not be politically correct for a comedy on television in this generation, certainly.
Certainly.
There was an awful lot, though, at the time, though. There was an awful lot of expectation built up about Squeeze, because I think yourself and Glenn Tilbrook were being described by many people as a new Lennon and McCartney. What was that like to have that sort of moniker put upon you?
Well, when that first was mentioned, it was an honour, of course, to be put in the same brackets as those two guys, and it was really a marketing tool used in America, and it was Rolling Stone magazine who coined that phrase. It was something that just came and went, really.
How now then did you deal with success? How difficult did you find it to deal with all of the attention that was placed upon you and the success that you had?
Well, I don't think you think about it when you're younger. You just kind of accept what's going on and you kind of deal with it on a daily basis. I think it's only when you get older and you reflect upon what success may have been, then you kind of realise how deep or how shallow life was. So the book in some ways describes some of that. Some of it was very easy to live with and some of it wasn't, really.
And that's then where your dependence on alcohol, is that where that developed?
I think so, yeah. But it was great. I enjoyed it. I mean, I wouldn't change it for the world. I mean, it was an amazing time. And, you know, by going there, I kind of found a very interesting place.
Also, the book is remarkable on the generosity shown towards you by Elton John, the help that you got from him. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, he is an incredibly giving person, and I don't know how he finds the time, but he picks up the phone, and when he hears that people are having a bad time, he'll call them, and if he likes them, of course, and you know, he gives you his shoulder to lean on. There aren't many celebrities I can think of that would go out of their way to do that, and he's done that with so many different people over the years.
Because he was your sponsor, wasn't he, in getting sober? He had been through the same himself.
He had, so he's a massive inspiration, and I saw him talking about it on the David Frost show, and it was one of the things that inspired me.
To actually give up drink?
Indeed, yeah. If he could do it, I guess everybody could do it.
He comes out of the book very well. Brian Ferry doesn't. Brian Ferry...
don't you think so?
Brian Ferry was not... disrespectful, I think, to you in many respects, wasn't he?
I don't know if he was. You know, I still have a massive soft spot for the time that I spent with him.
But he just treated you like the chauffeur, the hired hand.
Yeah, that's okay, though. I mean, that's what I expected. I didn't expect anything else. And in a way, that's kind of a wonderful lesson within itself. You know, and I loved working with him. You know, I grew up as a massive fan of his, and when I eventually got to work with him, I still was a fan and still am.
But I suppose, given your record as somebody who's written so many great songs and the rest of it, how difficult was it then to find yourself almost sort of with him, going meeting Michael Stipe of REM, sort of almost been in the past, whereas in the past previously, REM had supported Squeeze. You too supported Squeeze. All of the big bands of the 90s at one stage had been on the undercard to Squeeze.
It's a remarkable fact. You know, a lot of bands supported Squeeze and then went on to do greater things. But I have to say that with U2, they were generous enough to offer us the opening slot at Croke Park when they played there. And, you know, that was a really lovely gift. And I also remember being at the Q Awards, and Bono got an award, and on his way back from the podium with the award in his hand, he made his way over to me and thanked us for giving him the support slot in those early days.
So it's nice to be remembered by somebody when they become successful.
generous. It's very, very generous.
Well, who wasn't generous, though, was your first manager, Miles Copeland. It's shocking to read about how you actually ended up signing away the rights to all of those fantastic songs that you wrote in the early years.
Yeah, I mean, you could be bitter about it, but you could also say, well, if I hadn't have done that, I may not be sitting here now. So
why not?
Well, you know, it was difficult to find managers in those days and difficult to find a way out of a rehearsal room. We had lots of different songs and they were all different styles and we needed guidance and we needed a step up and we needed to make a record, but we didn't have any money. So when Miles Copeland came along, he offered us all of those things and of course we were very keen. Yeah, I mean, I'm upset and I've been saddened over the years that I don't own those songs. But in actual fact, if I hadn't signed that deal, things could have been different.
I suppose in some respect, you own all of the songs. You just don't get the financial benefit out of them.
Well, there is that. There is that, yeah.
Which songs in particular, looking back over your career, are you proudest of?
I don't know. I mean, it's a difficult question because they're all like children in a way. You songs, you sort of give birth to them and then they go out and do what they do.
So do you actually like playing the most?
Oh, I see. Well, Up the Junction, Call for Cats, obviously. Tempted is an incredible
song. Tempted would be
song.
My favourite one of your songs. It's a wonderful song.
Yeah, it is great. And Paul Carrack's vocal on it is really what made it a hit. And it's the most played record of Squeeze in America.
So now you also have been involved with the Irish band The Stripes. What have you done with them?
Well, about 5 years ago, I was asked to go in the studio and record them. And I met them. They were very young, 15 years old. And we went into a recording room and I just pressed play and record. And they recorded 15 tracks in about 20 minutes. They were so incredibly gifted. And then they just, one thing led to another. Niall, who's the drummer's father, asked me if I knew something about certain contracts and so on, which I'd had experience with, of course. So I sort of helped them along their way.
And what sort of future do you see for them?
Well, they're out on tour with Paul Weller. They're supporting Paul, and they're going to go off to America. I think America's where they need to break. America's got much more of an open culture for their kind of music. And, you know, they're more set up for that kind of thing. So hopefully they'll spend more and more time there.
And you're still writing songs. That has never stopped, has it?
Not at all, no. That's what I do. Squeeze had a record out last year and Squeeze had a record out 2 years before that. So, you know, we're still treading the boards.
It's been great meeting you. The book is a fantastic read. It's called Some Fantastic Place, My Life in Not a Squeeze. And you have had such a varied life and such a dramatic life. But it's written with great honesty and it's of great interest, as I said, to anyone who has been a fan of Squeeze over the many, many years. Chris Difford, thank you very much for taking the time to join us.
Very kind. Thank you. Good day.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.